New atheists say that belief in God is like belief in a fairy tale.
Are you an atheist?
For all practical purposes, yes. Nobody can actually say for certain that anything doesn't exist. But I'm an atheist in the same way as I'm an a-leprechaunist and an a-fairyist and an a-pig-unicornist.
That was Richard Dawkins. I disagree with him. Belief in God is like belief in a scientific fact, and I'm going to show you why. But before we do that, let's pause for a moment. He just called your belief in God like belief in a fairy, belief in a leprechaun, belief in a pig unicorn. You might be insulted. Pig unicorns? Now, pig unicorns, they exist as cartoons, and little children happily snuggle them to sleep. And I happen to think that they're cute, but my producer disagrees. That smile on your face is really important, because if we want to tackle this problem rationally, we can't feel insulted. If we feel insulted, we're unable to tackle this problem rationally. That smile on your face is also important because we want to have genuine love for the atheists. We follow a prophet who was called a liar, who was mocked, who was laughed at, who was stoned. And he had genuine love and compassion and well-wishing for everybody who did that to him. That is Islam, and that's how we want to respond. So let's look at Richard's argument. Richard is saying that he doesn't think there's any evidence for the existence of God. He also doesn't think that there's any evidence for the existence of fairies, leprechauns, or pig unicorns. So believing in God is like believing in fairies, leprechauns, and pig unicorns. That's a sound argument if there's no evidence for the existence of God. Now, a common answer to this argument is for a theist to say, I don't have any evidence for the existence of God, but you don't have any evidence against the existence of God. So my belief in the existence of God is just like, just as good, just as bad as your belief in the non-existence of God. Richard anticipated this objection. That's why he began by saying that I don't have any evidence for the non-existence of God. But what he's saying is that I also don't have any evidence for the non-existence of fairies, leprechauns, and pig unicorns. And I believe that it's more reasonable to not believe in the existence of fairies, leprechauns, and pig unicorns. And in the same way, I believe it's more reasonable to not believe in the existence of God. If that's a good argument, it needs a good answer. And we have one. The answer is like this. There's no evidence for the existence of fairies or leprechauns or pig unicorns, and I don't believe they exist. But there is evidence for the existence of God, and that's why I believe that he does exist. The two couldn't be more different. Now I'm going to show you why belief in God is like belief in a scientific fact. The reason is very simple. They're both based on evidence. That evidence is captured in an argument called the argument from contingency. Contingency is a big word, but it's something we should be aware of because it's a word that's used by philosophers and theologians, and it has a precise meaning. In our tradition, it means dependency. Something is contingent when it's dependent, and everything in the universe is dependent. Let's take the wind. The wind is dependent. The blowing of the wind depends on something else. That's why when the wind blows, we ask, what made the wind blow? If wind was not dependent on something else, we wouldn't ask this question. We only ask the question, what made the wind blow? Because we know, we see that there needs to be something that made the wind blow. So we go to the scientist, and the scientist tells us that there's many reasons for the blowing of the wind. One of these reasons is the shining of the sun. The sun shines, it heats up the atmosphere, hot air rises, cold air comes to take its place, and that's the blowing of the wind. So there you go. You've now found an explanation for the blowing of the wind. But have you? You haven't. Because what you've done is you have explained one contingent, one dependent thing in the universe using another contingent, another dependent thing in the universe, the shining of the sun. Because we can now ask the question, what makes the sun shine? Now, you can give an answer. The scientist will give an answer to that. He'll tell you about gravity, hydrogen coming together, fusing into helium, releasing heat, and that's the shining of the sun. But the explanation that he's going to give you is going to be in terms of something else in the universe, something else that's contingent, something else that's dependent. Science explains one contingent thing with another contingent thing, and that contingent thing with another contingent thing, and that contingent thing with, you can keep on going. It's like you have a line of dominoes. This line of dominoes is one domino leaning against another domino, which is leaning against another domino, and it's a really long line, and it's being held up because right at the end, there's someone holding up the line of dominoes. If that person takes his hand away, they all fall down. And the same thing with the universe. When you explain one contingent thing with another one, you're leaning it on that other contingent thing. And then you bring another contingent explanation, you're leaning that on another contingent thing. If there wasn't someone who was holding up the universe, keeping it in existence, making everything the way that it is, then nothing would exist. And that is God. In philosophical terms, we call this a necessary being. A necessary being is a being that's not contingent. It's a being that doesn't need anything. It's a being that doesn't need anything to exist or to make it the way that it is. That being is God. And he describes himself in this way in the Quran everywhere. There's a famous verse that every Muslim knows, Allahu Samad. That means Allah is the one who doesn't need anything and who is needed by everyone. That is the necessary being. That is God. That is the evidence for the existence of God. That evidence is found throughout the Quran. God tells us in the Quran to reflect on the universe. He tells us to reflect on the creation of the universe. He tells us to reflect on the day, on the night, on the ships that sail in the sea, on the rain that comes down from the heavens, on the plants and vegetation that grows forth from the ground, on the winds that blow in different directions, on the different kinds of animals that he's scattered throughout the earth. I know you're thinking evolution. Don't worry, we'll get to that. He's telling us that all of these things are signs, are evidence for his existence. If God didn't exist, none of these things would exist. These kinds of verses are everywhere in the Quran. Everywhere in the Quran, we're told that the universe is contingent, that the universe is dependent, that it needs someone who is not contingent, someone who is not dependent on anything to make it exist. The Quran teaches us to believe in God based on evidence. The God of Islam is not a fairy tale. The God of Islam is an evidence-based fact. Now that you understand the argument for the existence of God, let's get straight to the juicy stuff. In the next episode, I'm going to show you why evolution does not disprove the existence of God. See you in the next episode.